Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Okay, we're going to come to the word, and today we're beginning a new mini-series within our big series as we go through, and it is the wake-up call. I hope you all were able to identify some wake-up moments, whether you like them or not. I'll share a few in a minute. But we're continuing in Isaiah. So over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Isaiah and looking at the different aspects, but we've had quite a fantastic amount of context brought to Isaiah. So I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time bringing context again to Isaiah because I don't want to go over it. But just to remind you, Isaiah, the prophet, was speaking, and it is recorded as a message for those in exile, for the remnants, those people who had been scattered away from where they wanted to be, where they felt God had positioned them for purpose and called them and placed them. And they were scattered, and they were living and serving and being in places where they would rather not have been. And Isaiah was beginning this callback and this speaking to them and this idea of hope coming into situations where they had lost hope. So that is the context of Isaiah. But I want us to sit this within the context of what God is saying to us at Wellspring Church. So for the whole of 2019, we have got this key verse, and I don't want us to jump into this new mini-series without reminding ourselves of what we're doing, what the context of this is sitting in. And that is, of course, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where in Ephesians 3:20, he says this: "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." God wants to do something in us and through us by his ability and his power more than we might ask or think. And because of that context, when we look at the wake-up call, when we look at what Isaiah is saying, it is all sitting within the context of what God is saying to us as a church. Is that okay? So I don't want you to forget the key verse. I want that to be the very foundation, the yes but how, the question running through you when you come to the wake-up call, because God wants to show us something this year. About himself, about his power, about his ability, what he can do, in spite of our frailty, our weakness, in spite of us, just our availability and willingness. He wants to show something bigger than we have seen before. And for that, there is a wake-up call. So now, wake-up calls. I've already shared many times my desire to never be asked, "How did you sleep?" Because as much as I always want to wake up in the morning, just in that moment, it's not the first thing that I'm really thrilled about. So, you know, a cup of tea at arm's length and leave me alone for a while. But there are a few wake-up moments I'd like to share. The first one I'll call, these are all happened in our home, and I don't advocate any of them. I just feel, you know, they need to confess. So the first wake-up call would be what I would call baby in the face. Wake-up call. And this would have happened the very first time. So I was a new mum, and our eldest daughter, who's now all grown up and everything, would have been teeny tiny, like at about 4 weeks old. And at this time of her life, I didn't know she would ever stop crying again. Like, I didn't know if this was life forever now that we had this thing in our world called a child, and she was just going to cry all the time. I didn't know she would ever discover what it was to sleep. And therefore, I thought I might never sleep again. And obviously, because I'm kind and Tim was working hard, he tried to, sleep at night because I could nap during the day. So he would sleep at night. And there was this one time when I woke Tim up. I'm not proud of this. He has to forgive me because he loves Jesus. But I, Bethany was crying her little socks off. I had two choices. It was either get help or throw her across the room, and the latter was really not an option. But I was really exasperated. If you've been there, you will have grace for that. If you've never been there, you will now be judging me. Get over it. Anyway, so what I did with this crying baby, Tim was just snoring peacefully to my side. All right, it was 2 a.m, so of course he was sleeping. But I held Bethany, like, right over his face. Just right. So he woke up like, ah! To which I said, oh, did I wake you? So sorry. So he then rescued me. Okay, the second one, the second wake-up, I will call the silent click method. Now, this is something, a gift I have in the family. But basically, if a child wants to do anything in the middle of the night, from the simplest things like going to the toilet or sneaking in because they've been out way too late and they want to get in and pretend it's early in the morning, just a silent click and they will find me there saying, all right, right in their face. And I find this wake up a little bit frustrating because I get this click and I find myself there. Like I find myself in the bathroom just checking they're fine, which is fine when they're little, not so great when they're older. So now some of them in the middle of the night will still remember to lock the door because she's going to come. She's going to arrive because there's this automatic wake-up call. The other wake-up call, this is something that happened to our children. I think I have confessed this in public before. So in our family, we're not very good at paying for body parts that fall off. So you know the tooth fairies. Some people pay for body parts when they fall out of a body. We've never been committed to paying for body parts if they fall off. We just kind of get rid of them. If they're going to fall out, you don't need them. But anyway, except for the first tooth. Now, we did this for the first child, and so then we did it for all the others, even though they went to bed traumatized in anticipation of what was going to happen. But our first child didn't know that this was going to happen. So her tooth had fallen out, and we thought, well, this is really exciting, isn't it? We've got to mark this occasion. I don't think we knew then we would never mark any of the other teeth if they fell out. But at this point, we thought we were going to mark it. And obviously, you know, the tooth fairy has to visit, and we're good at having dressing up things in our home for children. So Tim and I, in our logic, thought that this was a good move, that while she slept soundly in her bed, unaware of anything, that we would don the tutus from the dressing up box and creep into her bedroom to take her tooth and to give her a pound, or whatever going rate was at the time. And so this was all very well, and we were getting away with it, and it was fine. She was never going to know, you understand, except for the fact that we nearly wet ourselves laughing in the middle of her room, and this poor child was woken up by her parents dressed in tutus in hysterics in the middle of the room going, oh, did we wake you? So we did do that for the other children, but they did know it was coming because you have to treat them fairly, you understand? The final type of wake-up that I want to share is about the today's the day wake-up. Now, Kevin and I were talking about this earlier, and we were talking about Christmas. So every Sunday is like Christmas Day for Kev. So there's a waking up that happens in a home on Christmas Day and on birthdays where the expectation of this is an amazing day happens. And so in our household, our children didn't read the book. I should be glad. Our children didn't read the book where it says they get up early and wake us up. They didn't read that. So we always have to wake them up. So on Christmas, partly because we get up early, but we get on Christmas Day, we're like, hurry up, get up, it's Christmas Day. And so we have this expectancy that we want to wake them up, get them going. And on their birthdays, we all go in and sing. What a beautiful way to be woken up, don't you think? You're asleep and we all come in singing. It's a little bit unfortunate that some of our best singers are leaving home and so that the choir that's remaining is less beautiful. But there is an expectancy on certain days, isn't there? On certain days, holidays, when you've got an early flight, don't you just want to get up? It's like, oh, holiday. There's the expectancy comes. So whether you're expecting a wake up or not can have a big impact. We're going to look at what Isaiah said, and he's talking about the wake-up call, and he's talking about drawing attention to the fact that it's time for someone to wake up. Isaiah 51, verse 9. It'll come up on the screens. This is what Isaiah says. We're just reading a few verses today. Wake up, O Lord. Clothe yourself with strength. Flex your mighty right arm. Rouse yourself as in the days of old when you slew Egypt, the dragon of the Nile. Are you not the same today, the one who dried up the sea, making a path of escape through the depths so that your people could cross over? Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. So Isaiah has been talking to the remnant. He's been talking to them in the previous messages that we've looked at. And now he turns his attention to God and starts talking to God. But he does so in a way that some of us do in our homes, where we're talking to somebody knowing that somebody else is overhearing. So everything we're saying is for the benefit of the people overhearing. So Isaiah is turning his attention to God, to Yahweh. Yes, he is. But he is very well aware that those people who had been listening to him were still listening to him. And what was being said was as important for them as it was for the Lord in some ways. And Isaiah starts by declaring some truths. But wake up, Lord. Does the Lord sleep? Does the Lord sleep? Have you ever had these situations in a home where there's a parent in the room, who's ever, and they are resting, and the people around them, normally the children, are doing stuff that they're trying to get away with, or they're trying to be quiet, they don't wake Dad up. He goes, I'm not asleep. Ever had one of those moments? We have this situation where Isaiah is turning to the Lord saying, wake up, but he doesn't mean that Isaiah is not meaning that the Lord has been asleep, but he's saying, show us your awakeness. Stir yourself again and reveal your power to us, that your arm might not be like a dead arm, numb by your side, but might be active and strong, because he wanted the strength of the Lord to be revealed. Have you ever just longed for the Lord to be as if awake and not as if asleep? Have you ever been in those seasons where everything is silent? You hear nothing. You see nothing. You ask God for something or to do something, and you kind of get nothing back. And it's not because he's asleep, but because you want to say, show me that you're awake. Show me your power. Well, here Isaiah is saying this to the Lord. Show me. And he is stirring faith. Now, what Isaiah does is he then begins to describe God. Rouse yourself as in the days of old, when you slew the dragon. In some versions, it talks about Rahab, but it's talking about Egypt and Pharaoh. Are you not the same today as you were then? This is describing God. If this went to a tune, this would be sung worship. Do we not do this when we sing songs of worship? We describe God. Not because he's thinking, well, who am I? Tell me who I am. But because we're declaring truths about God. This is who you are, Lord. This is who you are. And doesn't it stir faith? Doesn't it encourage us as we declare who the Lord is? Well, Isaiah is declaring who the Lord is. You are this God who did that then. Now, here's where it gets important for us. The story that he's referring to is when the Israelites, way back yonder year, were freed from slavery and captivity, where they escaped from the Egyptians. And you know the story, they came to the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, there was then this terrible challenge for them, because ahead they were going to drown, and behind there was going to be the Egyptian army, who changed their mind at them all going and decided to give chase, and they were going to have this great big battle, and it was all going to be very messy, and they were not going to do so well. And there they were in this place. Now, the Israelites in those days would have known some of the things that God had done over yonder year. And the Israelites at the time of Isaiah would have definitely known stories of what God had done. You know, stories of when he had silenced people or hidden people or clothed mouths of lions and done lots of different things. But here the original Israelites were in this predicament. And instead of just making the Egyptians blind, instead of just tripping up all their horses, instead of confusing them like he'd done in other battles with some candles and some noise and going, oh, I don't know what's going on. Instead of doing that, what God chose to do was make a pathway where there was no pathway. He decided to clear a barrier and create a new route that wasn't there before, as far as the human eye could see. Now, obviously, the bed of water, it was there, but they didn't know it. They didn't see it. They couldn't embark upon crossing it. And God made a pathway where there was no pathway to take the Israelites to safety. This very story is what Isaiah was capturing again, and reminding God that this is who he is, this is what he does, and reminding the people that he can make a pathway where there is no pathway. How many of us have been desperate for a way through a situation? And we come and we're pretty good these days, aren't we, at fixing most of our own problems? Like, really? Most of us know somebody who knows someone. Most of us can phone a friend. Most of us can Google the answer. Most of us can find certain things. But there comes to a time and place where even in our human strength and ability, we run out of options. Those who were following God were regularly running out of options. And God's okay with that. Why? Because he wants to show what he can do. He wants to show the new pathways he can bring. He wants to deliver from trouble those that he loves and take them to places that he has prepared. He is fine with us running out of our own ability, our own solutions, our own energy, our own bright ideas. And as much as he loves our bright ideas because he gave us creativity to be bright, and as much as he loves us being able to work hard for a solution because he gave us the ability to work hard for solutions, he loves the fact of when we go, oh, I don't think I can do this. He said, but I can. I can. You know, when we look at this wake-up call, I wonder really who are the ones who really need to wake up. There are several times in our scriptures that we get the encouragement that Isaiah is bringing to the Lord and to the people when he says, are you not the same today, the one who dried up the sea? In Numbers, we have this. It won't be on the screen. Just trust me or look it up. Numbers 23:19. This is what it says. God is not a man. We could put human in there. So he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried through? We have the privilege of the New Testament. We can jump to Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James, in James' letter, says he never changes or casts the shifting shadow. You can rely on the Lord. And why? If you go into James 1:17, it's because he's good and everything good comes from him. There is a wake-up call that we give to the Lord to say, show yourself. Show yourself. But family, there is a wake-up call for us to remind ourselves. To remind ourselves of who he is and what he's done. And everything the Lord has done has come out of his goodness. Now we can get so bogged down in our circumstances that all we see is right in front of us. So it gets very hard to have hope that there's going to be a pathway that you can't see because everything in front of you is what you can't see. The writer of Psalm 121 wrote a psalm that was for pilgrims returning to Jerusalem. There is this return of God's people to where he centers them that is an ongoing invitation. Come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. And Psalm 121 says this, it won't be on the screens, look it up in your yourself, or just listen. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forevermore. This is our God. The one who will make a pathway where there is no pathway. The one who watches over our comings and goings on whatever pathway we're on. The one who does not slumber and who does not sleep and does not, quite frankly, need to be woken up by any of us holding our disaster babies over his face. He sees. But the invitation I believe that we have today is, do we see? Do we see to look above our circumstances to put our eyes back on the Lord and to remind ourselves that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember a time in your life where you cried out to the Lord for a personal circumstance, for something that you were going through. And remember a time, like right now, begin to find a memory in your own memory banks of something the Lord has revealed to you about himself over the years. A time when you called out for yourself or for someone you loved. A time when you ran out of solutions. A time when you thought you would die. A time when you didn't have the job you needed. A time when, a time when, a time when. Can everybody in the room think of a time that God stepped in and made a pathway? Is there anyone who can't? Maybe that's a hard question to put your hand up to. Can everybody? Can all of us do that? Have all of us got the privilege of being able to look back and say, I remember when God did this? By the nods and the grunts, most of us can. Now, for those who have struggled to bring a personal memory, my invitation to you is, but there is story after story after story. And if it's not your own personal experience yet, there are still stories to be read of when God made a pathway where there was no path. And today, the Lord wants us to remember who he was. Who he was when you cried out to him. Who he was that time when he answered your prayers in a miraculous way. Who he was when you thought there was no path. And he wants to say to you today, I am the same today. And I will be the same tomorrow. And this God wants to reveal himself to us. Remember the verse we're sitting all of this in. He wants to reveal his power and ability through us. And the beautiful way he wants to do it is for us to get to know him, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not to get to know him because of what he's done, but because to get to know him of who he is in the journey, who he is in that situation, making the pathway clear. Who he is with the one with the mighty right hand that will split the sea and allow his people to walk through to safety. We can get so trapped in our circumstances. But where does our help come from? The one who is not actually asleep and who is ready to move if we would but be looking. But if our eyes stay down at this level, we might not see what he wants to do. But he wants to reveal his power and his ability. He wants to show us that he's awake. He wants to remind us, and we need to cooperate and remind ourselves of who he is. Because he's the same as who he was. And I don't know if you have great weeks or challenging weeks. This last week for me has been a good week. The week before, not so good. Not so good. My circumstances were much bigger than my ability, it seemed, to look up to God. Poor Tim, when he came back from Burkina Faso. He was... Oh, let's listen to a sermon. I just want to affirm to you the website. All of our sermons are on there. And there's an app that you can get for Wellspring Church. And I just think that's a really good reminder. The Lord is the same. No. We're coming into land now. It's all good anyway. And if you missed it, you can listen on podcast. The Israelites were scattered into places they didn't want to be. They didn't want to be there. They didn't. Who wants to be persecuted, for goodness sake? Who wants to be displaced? They didn't want that. And there was this callback saying, but there's more, there's more, there's more. And then there's this choice of response. The choice of response that we have the same choice of response. When we have the make room for more invitation, it's like, well, yeah, but how? What does that really mean? We're making room for God to show more of him, which means our eyes have to go off of our circumstances to him first. Then he will bring us back into our circumstances and show where he is in them. And he will make a pathway through them. And there are some people here who have got really challenging times at the minute. And I want to encourage you, there is a pathway through. And where it seems that there is no way, the waters will part. Because the God who is the same as yesterday is the same today and tomorrow. And his mighty right arm is going to move. Because he is watching over you. He is looking after you. He sees everything of your coming and goings. And he's not waiting for you to just click on the stairway for him to go, oh, I'm awake now, sorry, what is going on? He's not waiting for that. He sees it. He sees you before you even put your key in the door and start creeping up the stairs. I wonder if the band could come. Isaiah said that sorrow and mourning will disappear and they will be filled with joy and gladness because there is a hope of a better day ahead. There is a hope of something beyond what we see. There is a hope of something as the Lord moves and he wants us to experience him. So I want to encourage you today to lift your eyes to God. To the one who came to save us, to the Spirit who remains with us, and ask him to show his strength to you again, his goodness, his love. And ask him to show you the pathway that he has for you, even where right now there feels like there's no pathway. Because he is good, and he loves you. And he wants to reveal himself to you. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. And I pray now that you would reveal our loving Lord to us afresh. Lord, we trust that your word says that you don't slumber or sleep. So Lord, show us your awakeness. Let us see your awakeness and let us wake to the truth of who you are afresh. Holy Spirit, breathe on us that we would see the Lord.
As Helen was praying for us and as we were worshiping, I just was picturing what the Israelites might have seen as they saw the river parted. And I just got a word that I feel like is for someone here today. I feel like the Lord is saying, you know, you see the path. I've parted the sea for you. But there are so many things that are making you worried and anxious about stepping onto the path I've made for you. So many things that you think aren't going to work out. You wonder whether the land's really dry or your feet going to get stuck in it. You look at the waves and you think they're just going to come in once I get in the middle of the pathway. I'm not going to make it. And it's not what's coming in behind you that's worrying you or weighing heavy on you, but it's the idea of the path the Lord has made and your trust in that and your trust to it be a complete path and for the Lord to see you all the way through. And I just want to encourage you that God's saying, I've made the ground completely dry. There's not a drop on it. I have set the waves. I hold them back for you. They're not going to rush over you last minute and let you lose your hope, but I've made a path that's full for you and that you can walk down confidently. And as you walk down it, there will be peace with every step, peace and comfort and hope. And you will gain that with each step you take.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday. or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.